Welcome back to our next chapter as we deal with anthropology, one of the important subjects of systematic theology. We are dealing with man and its nature. We dealt with his nature, the very nature, how God have differentiated him in his body being soul and spirit. Now, something that we are going to deal in his nature with the relationship between man and woman. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, that God created male and female human beings. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. This verse indicates that both male and female are made in the image of God. And both belongs to category of man or mankind. The dominion that God gave to man belongs to both the male and female. Since verse 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over fish of the sea and birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 28. The implication of these two words is that one gender is not intrinsically superior to other. However, although the ontological value of men and women are the same, God has imposed an authority scripture upon them so as to define their roles within society, especially in the marriage relationship and church government. In connection with this, we will examine several relevant passages below. After the fall of mankind, God says to woman, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. One common interpretation for this statement understands that it as saying that the woman will experience great sexual desire for her husband, or at least a desire for his companionship. Reflecting this view, the Living Bible paraphrased the words as, you shall welcome your husband's affection and he shall be your master. By this interpretation fails to relate the first clause of sentence to second. In addition, a similar statement appears in Genesis chapter 4 verse 7. But this time it is translated, it desires to have you, but you must master it. Therefore, a proper understanding of this word should read it as, your desire will be to dominate your husband, but he will rule over you. Some assert that man and woman had equal authority in the marriage relationship before the fall, and it was only after mankind transgressed the law of God that man was given rule over woman as part of the curse upon humanity. According to this view, the subordination of woman is only the result of sin, and it has been negated after the death and resurrection of Christ. However, not all the effects of fall have been eliminated after the resurrection of Christ. There are something that must await the consummation of our salvation at his second coming. For example, sickness and death originated because of sin, but they are still in effect today. But if the work of Christ have removed all the results of sin for this stage of human history, they should be now completely absent from human experience, at least for the Christians. Therefore, even if the subordination of woman results from sin, it does not follow that it has been negated after the resurrection of Christ unless the Bible explicitly teaches it. But the authority of man over woman did not originate because of the fall of first place. Even before God created the woman, he said that she would be man's helper. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Paul teaches that the authority of man over woman did not originate because of sin, but that it is a creation ordinance. That is, by the nature, the order of creation of man and woman, the man has authority over woman. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. Woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. That is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. It is only natural that any ordinance of God instituted because of the very nature of creation is still in effect as long as we are human beings. In addition, both Paul and Peter wrote to believers saying that Christian wives are to obey their husbands. Thus, the work of Christ and the apostolic teaching did nothing to abolish the authority structure instituted by God at creation, but rather reinforce it as an absolute moral law. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, wives, in the same way, to be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without word by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. The argument saying that the redemptive work of Christ removed the curse of subordination of woman under man within the marriage relationship is an unbiblical position. The Bible teaches that the husband has authority over the wife at the creation of man, after the fall of man, and after the work of Christ. Rather than teaching that the subordination of woman resulted from sin, Genesis chapter 3 verse 16 indicates that sin produced their usurpation of man's authority. For Christian woman to submit to male leadership in the home and church is a sign of righteousness and regeneration. However, the rejection of male leadership in the home and church is a manifestation of sin and wickedness rather than abolishing male leadership in home and the church. The work of Christ restores and reinforces the origin divine design. One important aspect of feminist movement and feminist theology is to alter or abolish biblical structure of marriage, relationship, and church government. In their efforts to promote an anti-biblical equity, the feminists have facilitated the erosion of most basic unit of society, the family. God has designed that the man should be head of the home from beginning, but sin has produced in woman an urge to usurp the husband's authority and to be liberated from his rule. But the joy and hope of humanity depends on knowing and obeying biblical commands and not in fighting against them. The leadership of man in the family has been a controversial topic both within and without theological circle. The reason of much of the debate is not because scripture is unclear on the topic, but rather because of the ideological climate of the day and sinful tendency of human beings to resent legitimate authority. As Keel and Dalsich say in relationship to Genesis chapter 3 verse 16, the desire within the woman to defy man's authority is one that is bordering up of disease. A second passage comes from 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 16. Verse 1 to 4 says, Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The passage shows that now only are wives to subject themselves to Christian husbands, but they must be submissive even if the men are unbelievers. Since elsewhere we find that a Christian woman may only marry another Christian man. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 39. Peter here addresses women who become Christians after they were married to a non-Christian man. The part concerning submissiveness enters into the discussion when Apostle says that men may be won over without words. This does not mean that a person may bring another to faith in Christ without verbally communicating the gospel message. It is popular to assume nowadays that action speaks louder than words, but this is contrary to biblical teaching. These husbands to whom Peter exhorts the wives to submit are said to have already rejected the gospel as verbally communicated, whether by the wives or by someone else. Thus, the intellectual content of Christian faith are already being conveyed to these men, but they have refused to give it as their assent. Peter is then telling the wives that God may still use their purity and reverence as the means by which to impress and convert their husbands so that they may give assent to what they have already heard. Therefore, this passage presupposes the preaching of gospel rather than denying its necessity. Peter continues in verse 5 and 6, "For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their husbands like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." How did the woman make themselves beautiful? They were submissive to their own husbands. Although Sarah was a very beautiful woman, Genesis chapter 12 verse 14 says it very clearly in terms of appearance. Peter cites her case as an example of achieving inner beauty through submissiveness and obedience. Being physically attractive is not enough. Sarah made herself beautiful because she obeyed Abraham and called him her master. Just as Christians becomes the children of Abraham by imitating his faith, Galatians chapter 3 verse 7, woman becomes the daughter of Sarah by imitating her obedience to her husband. Peter does not deny the existence of abusive husband, but he says, you are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear, in verse 6. The ungodly behavior of some instruction is to do what is right and do not give way to fear in context of being submissive and obedient to one's husband, so that if any man of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words or behaviors of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. Our next passage on subject is Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 to 24. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church, his body, for which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." The meaning of this passage is very clear, but many commentators have attempted to subvert it. Example, New Testament scholar Walter L. Leffler writes as follows. To submit means to yield one's own rights if the relationship called for it, as in the military, as term put, canonic obedience, but as the meaning is not called for here. In fact, the word obey does not appear in scripture with respect to wives, though it does with respect to children and slaves. He admits that the word translated submit can mean obedience if relationship described calls for it, but he says the marriage relationship does not call for this meaning. So we will make the marriage relationship more clear in our next chapter. So as we have dealt in this chapter, the relationship is that man is obviously superior to woman in a sense that godly family should have to do this. As Paul in his writing very clearly says, God in Old Testament, it says very clearly, man and woman are very equal in the nature towards God. But when they come into family, wives has to be submissive to their husband. We will deal it in the next chapter about the marriage relationship between man and woman. So let me conclude it saying that men and women are equal when in the sight of God. But when they come into the part of the responsibilities, woman has to be submissive to man because man is head of the family. Thank you so much.